Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, July 31st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some lawmakers oppose Governor Dayton's push for a special session and how police are perceived in high-crime neighborhoods. Governor Mark Dayton is getting some pushback on his plan to call a special session to help businesses near Lake Mille Lacs. Dayton will hold a town hall meeting in Isle today to talk about what happens if walleye fishing season is forced to close early on the lake. But as Tom Scheck reports, some Republicans in the legislature say they don't think a special session is necessary.
The Department of Natural Resources says it may have to close walleye fishing on the popular lake next week. That's prompted worry among Mille Lacs resort owners that their business will collapse. And even though most legislators agree that the walleye situation on Mille Lacs is dire, they aren't convinced about the need for a special session.
The suggestion of a special session is a little premature.
Republican Representative Tom Hackbarth of Cedar is the chair of the House Mining and Outdoor Recreation Committee. He says he thinks the state should look at alternatives, including promoting other fishing options on the lake and catch and release requirements for walleye. Hackbarth also said he isn't convinced the DNR should be shutting down walleye fishing on Mille Lacs at all.
Maybe we can get past this without closing the season, and that would take care of a lot of the economic problems that they're having in the area if we kept the season open. How critical is it that we close it right now? Maybe we don't need to do that.
DNR officials have maintained that young fish aren't surviving in the lake. They say the only way to rebuild the walleye population is to restrict the number of fish that can be taken from the lake. Instead of immediately calling a special session, Hackbarth says he thinks a bipartisan working group should be formed to discuss options. Republican Senator Brandon Peterson of Andover says he doesn't think a special session should be called at all. Peterson said he sympathizes with the plight of resort owners on Mille Lacs, but he said it's not the role of state government and the taxpayers to rescue them.
In terms of providing economic, financial assistance, well, I understand the need that many people may have. I think if you go down that road, you're gonna induce probably a cattle call from a bunch of different corners of the state.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach agrees a working group should be formed to discuss the walleye situation on Mille Lacs, but he also supports Governor Dayton's call for a special session. Bach disagrees with the notion that state government should not help area businesses. He said the legislature helps other industries, including taconite workers on the Iron Range, farmers, and turkey producers.
When the state closes the fishing season and businesses are impacted, we're creating the less volume in business traffic. So I think you got some obligation.
Bach says the details of public assistance have to be worked out, but it could likely include zero interest loans, tourism promotion, and property tax relief. Governor Dayton also defended the idea of providing state help to resort owners. A recent economic survey of Mille Lacs County showed 22% of the workforce is in the leisure and tourism industry. That's second only to education and health services. Dayton says he's committed to looking at every way possible to help area businesses.
I'm not willing to give up on either the lake or the businesses who depend upon the lake for their livelihood until we've made every effort. I intend to see that we make every effort over the next month's time.
Dayton said the earliest he could call lawmakers back for a special session would be next week. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The legislative auditor says the Minnesota Commerce Department acted appropriately in its oversight of a now-defunct Minneapolis nonprofit. NPR News reported last year that some staffers were concerned that Commerce Department leaders were being too lenient on Community Action of Minneapolis. Brad White of the auditor's office says a review found Commerce Commissioner Mike Rothman and his staff acted appropriately in their oversight of how Community Action spent energy assistance money.
We went through email and other correspondence and didn't see any indication of leniency. In fact, we saw that they were continuing to monitor them to get them correctively in the right direction in terms of compliance with the federal requirements.
Meanwhile, the Commerce Department wants Community Action of Minneapolis to pay back $245,000 to the state. An audit found the nonprofit misspent money on contractors, out-of-state travel, and board retreats. Community Action's former CEO says he did nothing wrong. If you live in a high-crime neighborhood in Minneapolis, it's not unusual to see police officers stopping people and making arrests. That's led to tensions between the police and some people of color who say they're being targeted by officers. Brant Williams talked to African Americans on Minneapolis's North Side and reports on how they view the way police fight crime.
About a half dozen kids play catch with a Nerf football on a grassy vacant lot in the Jordan neighborhood on a pleasant summer evening. Nearby, a group of volunteers from the Jordan Area Community Council are serving free chicken wings, French fries, and potato salad to residents who stop by and take brief surveys. Jordan typically has more reported robberies, burglaries, and assaults than many other parts of the city. Nearly half of residents are African American, the largest racial or ethnic group in the neighborhood. Some black residents, like Alvin McCoy, say the presence of police is a fact of life around here. And he says officers don't bother or harass him.
I don't wear my pants sagging. I look like I'm finna do what I'm doing, going to work, going home. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So I ain't bothering nobody, la-di-da-di.
But others here say officers who patrol North Minneapolis are too aggressive. Johnny Lane says last year police pulled him over and ticketed him for driving without a license. He says officers towed his car and made him walk home, which was just a few blocks away. Lane says he believes officers pulled him over just because he's black.
They said something about I been through a complete stop at the stop sign. That was just a big lie.
Over a nearly three-year period, people arrested by Minneapolis police for low-level offenses were nearly nine times more likely to be black or Native American than white. Officers made more arrests in North Minneapolis than in any other part of the city. And often the people arrested here also call the North Side home, according to an NPR News analysis of police arrest data. That presents a number of challenges for a police department trying to improve its relationship with people of color. Inspector Mike Friesleben, commander of the 4th Precinct in North Minneapolis, says officers need the community to help them fight crime. But he says people are reluctant to cooperate if they feel like officers unfairly stop them for minor offenses. Friesleben says he encourages officers, whenever possible, to explain why they stop someone and apologize if they get the wrong person. And he says he wants the public to understand why the police do what they do.
If we pull you over and we think it's a suspicious deal and it's not, and you think you're getting pulled for no reason, and then you get attitude or you get volatile, it just one thing leads to another. Now we have this negative contact where if everyone would just keep their cool, we can have a positive contact.
I have a good relationship with the 4th Precinct, with the Inspector Friesleben and his officers.
Clinton Collins has lived in North Minneapolis for 14 years. He's an attorney and chairman of the board of the Minneapolis Urban League. Collins, who is black, says officers on the North Side are more savvy and less likely to engage in racial profiling than in the past. But he understands why some African Americans still fear and distrust police.
Because there has been a history that's been checkered. And there have been some cops that engaged in inappropriate behavior. There have been some bad cops. But on the other hand, there have been some bad actors as well.
Collins says in his neighborhood, those bad actors are usually young black men. And he's critical of people who protest against what he calls excessive policing, but don't live on the North Side. But there are Northsiders who think they are being over-policed. Carrie Jo Felder is African-American and a member of the group Neighborhoods Organizing for Change. Like Felder, many members of the group live in North Minneapolis and often speak out against police misconduct. Felder says officers sometimes cast too wide a net when they're looking for crime suspects. Felder says one night last month, she and members of her family were sitting on the front porch of their home when officers drove by slowly and flashed a bright spotlight in their faces.
That means, like, you can't just hang out on your own porch on the property that your family owns, you know, without having suspicion or, you know, just a nasty feeling cast your way.
Felder says she's also had officers' flashlights in her face while she's driving. She says she called to complain about it, but was told the officers were just doing their job. Police Chief Janae Harto has said she wants her officers to have a noticeable presence in neighborhoods where the most serious crimes are reported, but she doesn't want them there just to make a bunch of arrests.
I don't put officers there with the expectation of enforcement. I put officers there with the expectation of being in the area. And that means engaging in the community, that means walking a footbeat, that means having conversations with people, that means being visible, being present, being engaged.
Back in the Jordan neighborhood, Cy Jones sits on his front steps watching residents gather in the vacant lot down the block. Jones is black and moved to the north side from Chicago 15 years ago. He says the neighborhood needs police. He just doesn't want them to discriminate against the majority of people who live in the area.
You know, you see a couple of African-American young men in the car. They might be carpooling, going to work just like, you know, some other ethnic groups. You know, but if they look like they're troubling, if they break the law, I mean, you got to uphold the law. That's your job. Do your job.
Minneapolis police leaders say they will keep up the patrols on the north side and anywhere violence spikes. So far this year, Minneapolis is experiencing an uptick in shootings and homicides. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.